John 19. We're going to start in John 19. Look at the title. What does the title say? Your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Isn't it cute how Willow and Hudson match? What you doing, Hudson? Be found in John 19. We're going to read the story of the crucifixion. I want to just kind of read through it this morning. I want you to hear the words of what happened on that day that set us free. I want everyone here to know this morning there is hope for your situation. Whatever it is, there's hope. There's hope because we have a living Savior. As long as we're alive, there's hope. I had a birthday yesterday, and I was telling a guy in the parking lot, I said, you know, I don't like being this age. It's just starting to sound kind of old. He said, well, at least you made it to that age. I said, touche. That is very true. We're going to read, let's just start reading this morning, chapter 19, and starting with verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. I'll stop a couple times and make a couple points, and this is one verse I want to make a point. They scourged Jesus. Scourging means they took a leather whip, it had pieces of bone in the whip, and they struck him with this whip over and over and over to where the bones would go into his flesh and rip it out when it came out every time. Called the whipping post. He couldn't get away from it. They would handcuff him to a pole, and I see our Savior trying to dodge those whippings, but couldn't get away. It had to be done. It had to be fulfilled. Whipped with a leather whip with bones in his flesh. Then the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns. See up here on the cross. This is a real crown of thorns. These are real thorns from a thorn bush. Wednesday night, everybody touched these, and they're extremely sharp. Think about that going into his head. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him in a purple robe. They were making fun of him. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote them, slapped him, hit him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again. Let me say something about verse 3. Just now came to my spirit about this, just now reading this. Remember Isaiah talks about he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, but didn't open his mouth. How many of us would get slapped around and not open our mouth? We'd get beat and not open our mouth. He did not open his mouth because he had a destiny to fulfill for all of us. And he knew what his destiny was. It was to redeem mankind. He's being slapped, crown of thorns, mocked and hailed at. Yet he don't open his mouth. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't retaliate any kind of way. He rode in on a donkey, as you know, a week before, as a sign of peace, that I come in peace, not war. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith to him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Once again did not open his mouth. Then saith Pilate to him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest that I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you?" Jesus answered and says, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto you hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Remember, they were under Roman control, and they were trying to make it political, saying, you know what, if you don't release him, you're coming against the king, and that's a bad thing for your career. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat him in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, once again, such a political move right here. The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then what they didn't realize was at the time of Caesar was only their natural king for them, but Jesus become humanity's king for all people. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Now, once again, we've talked about this, and most of you know this. Crucifixion was the most torturous death at that time. The way they would nail his hands and feet, a person would have to gasp to try to breathe, and eventually they would just suffocate and die. That's how he died. He suffocated to death. Imagine being buried in a coffin, put underground, and covered up. That's how you would die. You would literally suffocate to death. That would be torturous. But he wasn't doing it in private. It was in front of all these people gawking and staring as he was on the cross, gasping for his very life. Verse 18, thank you. They crucified him and two on him with one on either side. Remember that he was crucified between two criminals and Jesus was in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, here it is again, once again, so politically motivated, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. You know why? Because whether they like it or not, he was King of the Jews. He was King of the Jews. Caesar was not their king in the aspect of spiritual king, but Jesus would become their King of the Jews. And he's still King of the Jews. Then the soldiers, verse 23, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. This is actually prophesied in Psalms chapter 22, this verse. Now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cephas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore, I said a vessel, and also that verse is in Psalms chapter 69, being fulfilled. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled it with a sponge and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This was a torturous, torturous death for our Savior. His last words, It is finished. What's finished? The last sacrifice ever needed to redeem you is finished. We have a lot of people still trying to earn their way to heaven. To earn their way. Turn the heat up. A little bit cool. Turn their way, earn their way to heaven. Whenever Jesus has paid the price in full for you, completely in full. You know, there's many people that wear a cross around their neck but have no idea what it means. Or they have one in their home but don't really know what it means. It's not just a good symbol of, you know, I'm a Jesus freak. There's a deeper meaning to that. It means that my sins are washed away. That my sins are forgiven. that I stand in the presence of a holy God, redeemed and reconciled back unto the Father, that there's nothing left to separate me from fellowship with Him. But Pastor, I still do a lot of things wrong. We always are. We all up in here are heathens at some point of our lives. Especially Jules, you heard, amen. We all heathens up in here. We do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say. We watch things we shouldn't watch. And yet we pick on someone else for what they do. I say it all the time, how we love categorizing sin, right? How we love categorizing sin, whether it's, you know, at least I don't drink, at least I don't smoke, at least I don't do drugs, at least I don't cuss, at least I don't sleep around, at least I don't watch pornography, at least I don't do this. We love categorizing what, you know, who, you know, Don's sin is much greater than Barbara's sin. Can I get a witness? Yeah. So that's how we categorize it, right? We categorize it that way. But Jesus died that our slate would be wiped away, that we could have freedom. We're not bound by sin. We don't have to listen to the devil anymore. When he tries to influence us to do what's wrong, we say, you know what? No, I've been redeemed. I'm not who I was. I'm not that person anymore. Old things have passed away. I was that person, and I was on that path, but no more. I'm not on that path anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the cross did. It paid the price. Jesus, it is finished. Hebrews 10 says he went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for us. It's a sacrifice like no other. There's no need to make any more sacrifices, yet we keep trying to sacrifice our way to heaven whenever this cross has paid it all. It is finished. The last lamb needed to be slain has been slain now, and it's over and it's done, and you're forgiven if you place your faith in this price that's been paid. This debt that I paid for you. I said Wednesday night, or last Sunday, I think, if someone paid off your mortgage, you wouldn't keep sending house payments in. It's paid for. Why do we keep sending house payments to God instead of resting in the finished work of the cross, saying, Lord, you died and you rose and I am forgiven. And God, I'm going to start living like I'm forgiven and worship like I'm forgiven and praise like I'm forgiven and sing like I'm forgiven and walk like I'm forgiven and serve like I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven, Jesus, because of the price that you paid. Don't listen to what others say. Listen to what Christ did. So he's in the tomb, or he's dead. Gave up the ghost. He's on the cross. Let's pick up in verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, he was a disciple, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore, took the body of Jesus, talking about taking it off the cross. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. They took the body of Jesus, they wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, which never had man been laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So he's off the cross, he's wrapped up, he's embalmed, let's just say, for a better term, and he's laying in a tomb, and everything is over, right? Everything's done. Another good man crucified, another good man, another good prophet, another good preacher, another good pastor, another good evangelist, all, you know, good man, but he's dead, he's gone, everything's good, he's wrapped up in linen clothes, he's in a tomb, it's over. But as we know, it's not over. Verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week, and I love this, cometh Mary Magdalene. Now, we love to talk about Mary Magdalenes of the world, don't we? Mary Magdalene did not have the greatest reputation, if you remember. But yet she is the first one to discover the tomb is empty. See, Jesus didn't just die for us, you know, us holy people like me and Don. He died for some of y'all too. He died for the very, very ugly. Remember the old Western, the good, the bad, and the ugly? Good, bad, and ugly. He died. And you may think you're good. You may think you're bad. You may think you're ugly. And I'm going to tell you what you really are. You're all three. We all are. There are times we look good. We're proud of ourselves, what we have done. Chuck and Jewel have been singing for Jesus revival. They good tonight. Then the next Saturday night comes around and Chuck's bad. Bad boy. Then the next week comes along and it's just plain ugly. And we're a little mix of all those things. And you know what? We always will be. Don't anybody tell you. When you get so much Holy Ghost, sin can't touch you. Virgil Short told me one time, God bless his soul and rest in peace, Mr. Virgil. He come to the back door one Sunday, and Virgil was a well-dressed man. He come to the back door, shook my hand one Sunday. He said, Pastor, that was a great message about sin. You didn't touch me. That's what he said. You didn't touch me. Some of us feel that way. And I've said before, and I'm just giving you a warning, if I say something up here and Don is elbowing Barbara, Don's the one needs to hear it. The one doing this is the one needs to hear it. I'm telling you, it works that way. So watch who you elbow, because you're the one guilty. Sin touches all of us. And I don't care how much Holy Ghost we got, how much we shout and dance and praise God and speak in tongues, whatever we do, we're going to always have a battle with sin. It attacks every home, every mind, every life. We've seen good families broken by sin, good men and women of God destroyed, and their lives destroyed by sin. So how do we have victory in that? We trust this, not us. There is no power within my flesh to try to be holy or be right. We see that firsthand when someone cuts John Garrison off in traffic. I doubt he's going, God bless you, let the Holy Spirit rain upon his life. I doubt that's John's reaction. I'm telling you, we can get fired up like that when the right thing hits us. When the right, and maybe cutting off traffic is not your thing. Maybe you're real patient. Oh, well, bless their heart. But there's something that triggers your trigger. Something triggers you. All of us have a trigger. And some of y'all's trigger can be very dangerous. That's why we have security now at the church. Some of y'all's trigger can be really, really dangerous. Jesus died for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And here comes Mary Magdalene, who didn't have a great reputation, who the town thought of as a sinner and a bad woman. Here she comes to the tomb, and look what happens. Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, came unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. I was going to say tomb. That's an easier word to say. Is that okay? That just don't sound right saying that word. Then she runneth, and she cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the tomb. And they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the tomb. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not he in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, went to the tomb and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. This was an indication that his body was not stolen. They wouldn't have done that if they'd stole his body. They would just grab it and went. But he unfolded himself, folded the napkin off his head and laid it to the side, indicating, I'm not here no more and I've not been stolen, but I have risen. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the tomb, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood at the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest you? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, that I will take him away. And Jesus saith to her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith to her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, she was the messenger, told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Alive. Rose. Mary Magdalene came. Jesus, talk to me. Wonder what their first response was. We just saw him dead. We took him off the cross. We wrapped him in a tomb. He can't be alive. He's alive. And he used Mary Magdalene, a woman of a bad reputation, to deliver the message that he is risen from the dead. And because he is risen from the dead, we don't have to stay dead anymore. Dead in our sins, dead in our past. We can be free, our chains be set free today and this moment, right now. This is a gift that God has offered everybody, not just somebody. He's offered this gift to humanity. Look at my next scripture here. John 3:16. We know this verse. Oh, I didn't put it in there? Oh, there you go. For God so loved the world. Not just part of the world. Not just me and Holy Don. But he loved Bad Chuck, Bad Teresa, Yankee Joe, Cop Kevin. He loved all of us. He loved the world. He didn't come to be king of just one race of people or one nation of people. He came to be king of all nations, of all people. I love when I see international services in different languages and they're having revivals and they're preaching and they're singing in tongues I don't understand. But they're singing the same songs that we sing here, but they're singing them in their language, worshiping Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in their language. Understanding that he came to break every barrier of racial divide, of economic interest, of political stance. See, Jesus unites, not divides. He unites. He unites races. He unites agendas. He unites denominations. He unites all people. Jesus is a uniter, not a divider. And as ministers, that's why I've always tried to stay on the side of being a uniter. Do I have my own opinion about things? Of course I do. I just don't throw them on Facebook like some of y'all do. I got my own opinions. Me keep them to myself unless someone asks me. If you ask me, I'll be honest. But I understand my job and role is to unite people of all walks of life. That's why this ministry, this church, from the very beginning, it doesn't matter how you look, how you dress, what you wear, how your hair looks, how your tattoos look, how your piercings. You can come in like a pincushion. I don't care. You look painful, but I'm glad you're here. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't bother me whatsoever. Doesn't bother me about you. People say, I can't come to church. I ain't living right. Well, you know, really? Define living right. Who's really living right? And by right, I mean right enough to be holy in God's eyes. Ain't none of us living that right. We all have our baggage. We all have our struggles. We all have our challenges. We all have our issues. We all have our battles. All of us have our storms. But Jesus paid the price that I can rest my hope in him, not in me. Aren't you glad your hope's in him and not you? It's in him and not me. It's in him and not Don. I mean, thank God our hope is in him alone. All our hope is in Jesus. All of our yesterdays are gone. That is what Jesus came to do, to wipe the slate clean, because we can never do it. The book of Hebrews says the priest, back in the days of the Jewish people, as they were sacrificing, the priest would come daily and offer sacrifices. And the Bible says that all the daily offerings of all the ministers that would come to offer sacrifices could never take away the sins of man. Could never take away the sins. But this man, after he sat down once, after he went behind that veil once, he took away the sins of the world forever. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold him which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what he came to do, to wipe the slate clean. How's that help me? that I don't have to be bound no more. I don't have to be chained no more to who I am and what I've always been. That I can allow the power of God to change me if I want Him to change me. For some of you in here, you don't want to change, not really. Or you're scared to change, or you're just not at a place you're ready to change. But when you are, you'll change. When you surrender to the cause of Christ, when you surrender to the price that He paid fully, say, Jesus, I know You are the King of all humanity. I know You're the Savior, You're Redeemer. I know You love me. See, here's one thing we got to understand. We don't think God can love us because of what we've been and who we are. Because maybe our parents have kicked us out. Maybe our brother and sister don't talk to us. Maybe the church has rejected us. Maybe the preacher don't ever call you. Maybe you don't have no friends at work. Maybe everybody's given up on you and threw you away. But God hasn't. And God never will. You are not damaged goods to God. You are not trash to God. You are not bad to God. You are His child, and you are here on purpose. I don't care how you came in this world. I don't care by what method, planned or unplanned, by man you came. You were planned by God to be here. You were planned by the holy hand of God to be here. And God uses different channels to get us to where we're supposed to be. And I trust that God knows what He's doing, and whatever channel He uses, that's what I believe is the right channel for my life. So I trust that. You're not damaged. You're not to be thrown away. You're not scraps. Remember the little woman said that came to Jesus' table and said, Master, can I sit at the table? You're not worthy to be at the table, whatever. You're not supposed to be at this table. And she says, but even dogs get scraps off the tables. Boy, that spoke to Jesus. He said, I've not seen such a greater faith in all of Israel as what you just said. She understood God. Didn't you come for me too? Didn't you come for me? I know I'm a leper, but didn't you come for me? I know I'm an adulterer. Didn't you come for me? I know I'm a drug addict. Didn't you come for me? I know I'm an alcoholic. Didn't you come for me? God, I know that I've got issues with women or with men, or I've got problems. I've got struggles. I've got issues. But God, didn't you? You know, is there something you can give me? Yes, there is. Yes, yes, yes. There's no respect of persons, the Bible says. No respect of persons. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in Him should not die, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. We can have everlasting life because the Son of God was given on our behalf. He took our place. It was His life for mine, His life for you, His life for the children, His life for every generation. He didn't die just for that generation. He died for every generation that would come along. He died 2,000 years ago. This happened. It's recorded fact in history that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He was buried, and He did raise from the dead, witnessed by more than 500 people, and witnessed ascending up in the sky back unto the glory realm. That was seen, and that was witnessed, and that's been documented. It happened. You can't deny it. You can't fight it. It is what it is. What's been written, hallelujah, is written, and it can't be changed because man says it didn't happen. So if I know that He did live, He did die, He did rise, He did ascend, why can I believe that all of He came to do is also real? And that was to redeem me and to forgive me and to save me when I couldn't save myself. Some of your lives in here have been so broken by pain. Some of you are broken because of how you were raised. Maybe you were raised good and you're still broken. Things happen. Challenges come. You're broken. There's things in your life that you just can't seem to ever get together. And you're fighting that, and you're carrying that weight. You weren't meant to carry that weight. You were meant to give that weight to the one who carried it for you. You were meant to unbear all of that and be free. Be free. You could go out of here feeling 50 pounds lighter today as you give this to God and say, God, I'm giving You my life and my future. I'm going to still fail. I'm not going to walk the line perfect. But God, this day I give myself to You fully and completely and unconditionally. I will serve You. I will follow You. God, I give You all of my pain. I give You all of my shame. I give you all of my sin. I give you everything, God, and believe that, yes, you died for me too. Not just my neighbor, my family, my friend, my mom, my dad, but you died for me that my sins can be forgiven, that my sins can be washed away, that you can look at me, God, with eyes of love and eyes of glory. You can look at me, God, and say, that one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. Doesn't matter what you've been. It's who you are now. A new creation in Christ right now. This is what the church is for, is to set the captive free, to open the cell doors, and to bring healing to those who are sick and who are lost. That's what we're here for. It's not to celebrate or entertain the saints that don't need no help. We all need it, church. We all are struggling with something, and Jesus paid the price for it all. The next verse, 17, says this. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came that we might be saved. Jesus paid this price to save us, not to condemn us. Don't let nobody paint a picture of God being a Hitler dictator who wants to kill everybody that don't believe like him. How patient has God been with our lives? How many times has God spared you before you got saved? How many times has God spared you since you've been saved? How many times has God's hand washed over you and been upon you? How many times have you already been dead more than once, but you're not, because God still has a plan for you? Why did you walk away from that wreck? Why did you get healed of that disease? Why, you know, what kept you? What happened? It's God that happened, and God's not done with you. God has a plan for you. No matter what you think about yourself, when you see yourself as God sees you, I am loved by the creator of the universe. I'm loved by every time that sun rises, I see that sun. I'm loved by the one that made that. When the moon, we had that beautiful full moon the other night, and I was out looking out in the backyard, and I'm like, you know, I'm loved by the one that created that. I'm loved by the one that caused the waves to never cease to come in. I'm loved by the one that the mountains are so beautiful and so majestic that you couldn't design if you tried. I'm so loved by the one that when I see a river running and a river rushing, I'm loved by the one that causes that current to continually flow through the valley. I'm loved by him. Maybe I'm not loved by everybody, but I only need to be loved by one person. That's why that really counts, and that's by him. Next verse, Brandon. Romans 10:13. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you in this room today. That's all of us. From the old to the young, from the backslider to the one that thinks they got it all together. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't want to leave this service today on Easter Sunday without the opportunity for you to surrender to this cross today, the price that's been paid for you. This price came hard. This price came at a great cost. We'll never know that cost, but he paid it. And the cost that he paid is for you. Look, I know we've been burnt out by churches. I get it. I'm a preacher. I'm probably the most unreligious preacher you'll find. There's preachers getting on my nerves. We've been burnt out by churches that tell us what we're not. We've had preachers hurt us, deacons hurt us, people in the church hurt us. Somebody was sharing me the other day, this week actually, about how the church hurt them, took something away from them, and just really hurt them. That's why your faith can't be in the church. Your faith can't be in the pastor. Your faith's in God. And some folks say, you know what, I can just stay home, and I can, you know, I don't need a church, I serve God my own way, and all that's good. But there's something about coming to the house of God together, to worship together, that should mean something to the Christian. It's a strength. It's absolutely a strength to each of us that we are able to come together and worship. Don't give up on God because you give up on the church. Don't give up on God because church has hurt you. because religion's hurt you, because hypocritical people hurt you. You know, people, I heard something on Facebook where they say, well, I don't go to church because a bunch of hypocrites are there. Y'all go to Walmart and shop. Any hypocrites there? Anybody going to Logan's for lunch today? Any hypocrites up in there? Yeah. Are you going to work tomorrow or Tuesday? Are the hypocrites at your job? You don't stop working. You don't stop eating. You don't stop shopping. You don't better not stop serving. There's hypocrites everywhere. It's okay. That's okay. You know why they're hypocrites? Because they haven't got delivered yet. Doesn't mean they don't want to be. They just hadn't got there yet. I know religion can hurt people. I know that. But Jesus came to bring healing to all the hurts. He wore that crown of thorns for me. He took the nails for me. He was whipped at a whipping post for me. And by law, they usually gave a convict, they could give them up to 39 stripes. They couldn't give more than 39 stripes, 39 whips. Can you imagine? You think you've been abused growing up? 39 stripes they could give a max by law with a whip at the whipping post. He took that for us. He was mocked and spit upon. They spit on Melanie, had been over. That's her thing. Melanie been back slapping like crazy, boy. Somebody spit on her. They spit upon Jesus. They ridiculed him. They slapped the Son of God, God in the flesh. This is how the world saw God, was through Jesus. And they slapped the face of God. And he was carrying this cross, not just for the ones that were praising him, that laid palm leaves down, but he was giving his life for the ones that were slapping him, spitting upon him, and beating him. As they were beating with the whipping post, he was saying, I'm giving my life for you. You can beat me, but I'm going to redeem you. You can spit upon me, but I'm going to save you. You can mock me, but I'm going to redeem you. That's what he came for, all of us, not just for the ones that were worshiping him. His love is greater than anything else. And I want to ask you this morning, if you have chains you're ready to give up today. I'm not saying it's all going to be a miracle overnight. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes it's a process. But if you're willing to make a first step to say, Jesus, I'm ready to surrender to you and to your love and to your mercy that you have for me. This altar is going to be open this morning for you to come to this cross and say, Lord, I believe. And I'm ready to surrender all to you today. Take my life and change me. Because when I look in the mirror, I don't like who I see. I don't like the father I am, the husband I am, the wife or mother I am. I don't like who I've become. I don't like the child. This invitation is for our children as well, young people, our young children, our teenagers. I don't like who I've become. I don't like who I am. And I'm ready on this Resurrection Sunday to let him resurrect me and bring me out of what I'm in. Come talk to him this morning. Lord, as we go to this altar call this morning, let hearts be drawn to this place. Let ears hear the truth this morning. Let them receive what they've heard. Lord, you did go to the cross for us. You died for us. You rose for us. That you love us. All this was for us, God. All of this was for us. That we would have to not carry the pain anymore, the shame and the guilt. God, maybe our parents, our friends, our people we know don't forgive us for things we've done, but God, you have promised that you would. You said we confess our sins before you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We ask for that cleansing today, God. Let your people arise from the ashes of where they are and let them surrender this morning at the foot of this cross and call upon your name in Jesus' name. Come talk to him, church. Come talk to him.
When we don't deserve another every mistake.
didn't get it this morning, church.
God is breaking. That's when you'll find love never failing. Sweet peace of mind for each step you're taking.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
I know mercy is waiting. When forever love has failed again. When life's broken dreams are hard to mend. Lift up your head.
This morning, trust him. Just trust him this morning. He's got what you need, I promise you. He's got what you need right now. Speaking to some hearts here this morning. I just feel a strong pull of that. And I want you to listen to that. There's a reason God is calling you this morning. There's a reason he's speaking your name. Just trust what he's calling. You don't have to know how it all works out. Just trust the calling you're feeling now and trust that. You may think I'm not strong enough to give it up or I won't change when I leave here. That's not up for you really to decide. Once you make a decision to say, God, I need help, God will step in, I promise you, and help you. And strengthen you and give you what you need as you come up here today to surrender. Just trust him, because mercy is waiting. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. And we deserve death. We deserve separation from God, but we didn't get that. We got life everlasting. We got abundant life. We got peace and joy and power and victory. That's what we got because of Jesus. If you got something you need to let go of, let this. I don't care it's Easter. Forget all the hoorah of who's here. Forget about all that's a holiday. Who can, we're here to celebrate Jesus, nothing else. This is about breakthrough, church. This is about letting the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit came to do, and that's to set you free today. This altar has a lot of room, and it has room for you this morning. Listen to it and come get what God has. Sing it, Marjorie.
We don't deserve another chance. When we meet God, won't give second glance of every mistake that we made. There is an ocean of grace. Mercy is waiting.
Yes.
With arms open wide. When your heart is breaking, that's when you'll find love.
Your word says that it will not return void. The seed was planted today in the ears of those that were here. And I bind and come against the enemy that would try to steal away this seed before it takes root. I pray for good ground this morning. I pray that every vessel is good ground, that it will fall deep in the soil of every listener here, and it will produce the fruit, God, that it was intended to produce. I pray that chains be broken and breakthrough takes place this morning in those that are here. That your love overshadows their fear. That God, your power overtakes their weakness. And that your righteousness overcome their sin. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that the tomb is empty and we are alive forevermore. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor and glory that there is victory. Something, Marjorie. Father, we all are standing here together in your presence as one body, as one family. God, we are joined and united, hand in hand. We don't all agree with each other on every issue, but God, we stand hand in hand together, declaring that you are Lord. God, we believe in that. And we know you love us through all of our faults and through all of our failures. You're not going to give up on us. You're not going to ever let go of our hand, God. You've got us this morning. You have us now and have us forevermore in your plan. We are not here by accident today. We are here on purpose. We're not at this service, God, by chance. We are here because you had a word to say today. And I pray this word fills every heart, every mind, and that they will see the truth that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that your love, your grace, and your mercy outweighs our shame, our guilt, and our sin. In the name of Jesus, I pray for strength for each other, strength for this body, and strength for this family, that we will see the hope that you have come to give us, and we will celebrate that hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Where would I be? You only know. Kids to sing it only. Will y'all sing, kids, if I have y'all sing? Kids, sing it. Get them started, Marjorie.
Where would I be? You only know.
Sing it. Yeah, I heard you sing them while ago.
Very nice, y'all. Very nice. Good job. All righty. Y'all can be seated. Have our ushers come receive our offering. Don't forget the Easter egg hunt following service for our kids. Do we have a drummer here today?